Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, 15 minutes from now, the GM of the Tennessee Titans is going to speak. The team that went to the AFC Championship last year, the old Oilers, their head coach will speak in 15, or their GM, John Robinson, will speak in 15 minutes. 45 minutes after that at 1 o'clock, Mike Vrabel, their head coach, is going to speak. So we'll hear from both the GM and the head coach. We'll try to get that for you today. If we don't, we will provide it for you tomorrow to accompany with what we've already been discussing and what we're going to discuss a little bit on the final half of the show. What the Jacksonville Jaguars and Indianapolis Colts head coaches have already told us in the last 2 days. So a lot of information, a lot of details, a lot of transparency coming out of the AFC South, John Lopez, which is always a very, very good thing, especially during these times when we just really want to be connected to our teams, maybe more than ever as we continue to battle what we're battling right now here in Eastern across the country.
You want to get that normalcy, sense of normalcy. It's not going to be normal, and not for a while. And we're not going to harp on all the heavy newsy details, but we know what's going on, what some of the projections were yesterday, nationally, et cetera. So, yeah, I mean, this is a hat tip, man. Credit all the organizations, not just in the AFC South, but all the organizations that are trying to at least give you that outlet. And I think putting some real meat on the bones, I feel like Frank Reich was incredibly candid, even by, you know, any NFL standard, much less in this time that we're living right now. So it was, I mean, we got a lot to talk about just with that. Of course, the Texans aren't talking. Bill O'Brien is not talking. And we understand and are confused by that. But I feel like it's exactly what people need. We all need that little escape. I mean, I went out yesterday. It was just so cool seeing you guys, even from a distance. Just some sort of normalcy, right?
Yeah, and I mean, let's be honest. If this weren't going on, they would have had the meetings and they would have been speaking anyways. I think a lot of organizations realize that, and that's why, you know, three out of the four teams in the AFC South are speaking. Not sure if any of those other three teams have made a DeAndre Hopkins-like trade. Has their fan bases as uneasy as the Texans do. Well, actually, I do know they have not. But Frank Reich discussed, you know, the trade that the Colts made, trading their 13th overall selection. He went in depth on it. Also discussed the thought process of bringing in Phillip Rivers, a guy mm-hmm. with declining skill set, much like David Johnson. So I think it was interesting to see that Frank Reich, the coach of the Indianapolis Colts, who just got a new quarterback. He answered a lot of the questions to his fan base and to NFL fans, similar questions that fans would like to hear from Bill O'Brien. You know, Phillip Rivers, declining skill set. Do you think that Phillip Rivers' best days are behind him? Frank Reich answered that question. I think Texans fans would like to hear the same thing from Bill O'Brien in regards to David Johnson. Frank Reich was also asked about the trade they made, the 13th overall selection for DeForest Buckner of the 49ers. What went through your head when you made that trade? He explained himself there. I think Texans fans would like to hear that type of thing. Doug Marrone, the Jags coach, was asked mm-hmm. about the drama that he's got going with Yannick Ngakoue, and he had some candid information there. We know about the drama between Bill O'Brien and DeAndre Hopkins that we've heard about the last you know, 2+ weeks that the trade was made. And it was just good to have that. I think that's part of the gig. I understand you can do whatever you want, especially when you're in charge, but it's good to see that in this division, at least, we're getting information from teams outside of H-Town. And as we know, that does impact the Houston Texans because those are the teams that are going to be playing two times each here in 2020, J-Lo.
And just in terms of, like, here locally and what the response has been, you know, you talked about it doesn't sit well, et cetera. If you think that this is another one of those, oh, it'll blow over moments, or once the season starts, it'll, you know, and the Texans win a few games, no one's going to be that down on Bill O'Brien and what happened. That is absolutely false. As bad as it was a year ago, 2 years ago, it's just been escalating and escalating the amount of venom, you know, that people feel for the moves and the decision making of Bill O'Brien. And now all of a sudden, almost overnight with the DeAndre Hopkins trade and some of the others adding to it, I mean, it's multiplied times 10 at least, maybe more. The Texans cannot do anything right now without it coming back to Bill O'Brien.
And honestly, I mean, it's easy for us to say, you know, it's easy for us to sit where we sit and say, you know, Cal McNair needs to talk or Bill O'Brien needs to talk and just present why they should talk or why it should be an obligation to the fans for them to talk. Cause I don't necessarily think that Cal McNair needs to say anything because a lot of owners don't talk, you know, some do, but not all of them do. So I'm okay with that. But when we say that, and then literally every other team in the division, their GM and their coach are speaking this week, and there's other GMs and coaches from around the league that are speaking, that's where it just looks that's where it really adds validity to the notion that they need to speak. And it just, right. it's almost insulting to think that this is just going to blow over. Like, fans aren't just upset because
exactly.
DeAndre Hopkins is gone. Fans are upset because DeAndre Hopkins is gone and you didn't get fair equity for him. Mm-hmm. And if you think you did, then go up there and explain what's going on inside your head when you make these deals. And when John McClain comes on yesterday and John McClain tells us that the reason that he doesn't think that Bill O'Brien is speaking is because he just doesn't want to talk about the trade that he made with DeAndre Hopkins, that got me a little bit. That raised my eyebrows a little bit. It got your blood boiling, J-Lo.
Oh, it absolutely got my blood boiling. He said, why, you know, we asked, why is Bill O'Brien not talking? Well, he doesn't want to. Want to at this point, Landry, shouldn't even be a factor because want to has nothing to do with it. You know, I don't want to be broadcasting from home, you know, but want to has nothing to do with it. I mean, it has its advantages. You know, Gibson's right at my side all 4 hours every day, so that's cool, but that's neither here nor there. It's an obligation. It is an absolute obligation for Bill O'Brien in a normal time for him to talk about trading the best player on your team, arguably, and certainly the best receiver in the NFL, in my opinion. It's an obligation. It's a responsibility. If you're going to be a good teammate to the city of Houston, and yes, I use that term on purpose because Bill O'Brien values the good teammate so much. If you're going to be a good teammate to the city of Houston, Houston needs you right now to at least give them something.
He's a great teammate.
Something to occupy their mind other than the coronavirus and this pandemic and the stay-at-home orders and everything else. Want to has nothing to do with it. And by the way, Landry, you're going to be asked some extremely tough questions. Bill O'Brien will be asked some extremely tough questions about what happened. No doubt about it. But he's still answering them. You know, he's still be able to craft the narrative and the response in such a way that maybe actually helps his cause. I don't think so, big term, but maybe in some circles actually helps his cause. Like some of the things that Frank Reich talked about yesterday, they were sensitive. Dude, you traded the number 13 overall pick? You traded the number 13 overall pick? What were you thinking? Well, you know what? For DeForest Buckner, you know, the defensive tackle, he told Colts fans and NFL fans why he traded it. And it actually made him look a little better. He said it was a no-brainer. He told a great story about Tony Dungy, talking about, man, when you have a three technique like that, it makes everybody better. And so all of a sudden, you know, Colts fans and NFL fans are like, all right, I see where he's working. They still might not agree, but they see how he was working there. Right now, nothing from the Texans.
And I mean, dude, like it's not, I don't, coronavirus aside, I mean, you have the technology to speak, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think you can use that as a shield. And I mean, there's a lot of, I mean, there's working people across H-Town right now who have to, who do stuff that they don't necessarily want to do or they don't have to do. I mean, sometimes there's some stuff that you and I don't want, that probably in a perfect world, we would hate to talk about. Like, did we really want to break down the Astros cheating scandal like we did? No, but it was the top story, and it's a service to Houston for us to give you a pulse and talk about everything that matters and play the hits every day. So we have to talk about it. A lot of times there's a lot of stuff that, you know, we don't have to, we're not forced to talk about certain things, but we do it because it's part of our job. It's part of the service of doing what we do and representing the number of people that we do and providing a service to the city that we do. So yeah, you might not have to, but at some point you gotta have a little bit of respect for your city, for the fans. And I just think speaking about it would be, I don't know if it would be beneficial to BOB.
It's an obligation at this point. It's something that, you know, whether he likes it or not, Bill O'Brien is a big, impactful figure in the city of Houston. Not like a mayor, not like a county judge, but someone whose voice will be heard. And especially if that voice is about something other than the number of deaths or stay-at-home orders or other things, I think it's more important than ever for him to do it right now.
Well, he has not done it. Mike Vrabel and John Robinson are about to, which means every team in the division will have spoken, but we have still yet to hear from King Bill. But he did do a good thing yesterday. He and his lovely wife, and I do mean lovely, seems like a very strong woman, Colleen, they did donate $100,000 to the Texas Food Bank. This was announced by Mark Berman. And as it was tweeted out by Mark Berman, the people of Houston weighed in on the generousness of King Bill and his wife. Here are some of the comments, John Lopez. Are you ready? Put your seatbelt on.
So he donated $100,000. Good for them, by the way. Really good for them.
Very good for them. And good on a lot of NFL teams. A lot of NFL teams have done a good job donating. Here's some of the comments when Mark Berman announced that King O'Brien had made these donations. Quote, he should have donated himself. Be sure to thank them
even
for the
now?
Generous. Be sure to thank them for their generous donation. It is deeply appreciated. On a separate note, inform GM/head coach Bill O'Brien that he is no longer welcome on Kirby Drive. Keep it and give up the coach GM position. He also sent a 2023 and 2024 first-round pick. Not the only thing that he has given away this month.
Oh,
Bill O'Brien has single-handedly ruined the Texans and will lose the only QB worth a damn this franchise has ever had. In a time where everything else is bigger than sports, it's hard not to think of that. The comments when BOB made his $100,000 donation here on In the Loop. Quote, give your job up if you really care about Houston. That's very kind of them. However, still, hashtag Bill O'Brien, hashtag Cal McNair does not care. Tell the food bank to make sure they don't show any attitude or he'll take back his donation. Donate his job and then I'll be impressed.
Golly. And
then
just
he donated.
These are the comments. These are the comments that fans made, people made after it was tweeted that he donated $100,000 to the food bank.
Two more comments in response to Bill O'Brien's $100,000 mm-hmm. donation, courtesy of Mark Berman. Quote, then he donated $500K to the Phoenix Food Bank. Hashtag fire Bill O'Brien.
Oh my God. You can't laugh, right? Here's 100 grand. Oh, let me give Phoenix 500 grand.
Here's the last one. In response to Bill O'Brien donating $100,000 to the Houston Food Bank. $100,000 worth of Spam and Vienna sausages. Houston always loses on B.O.B. deals.
Oh, no. This guy, it's a different world with him now. As bad as it was, it's a lot worse now.
I just hope he doesn't vilify the people of Houston and put it in his mind that everyone is unfairly against him. I think it has been earned. I think it's something you just gotta wear. But I don't know if this is gonna wear on him to where he's just kind of up against it. But times are interesting for Bill O'Brien. Times are also interesting across the AFC South. The Jacksonville Jaguars, the Indianapolis Colts have spoken. The Titans GM has actually just taken the podium. The most interesting things we've learned from the enemies. Words from the Texans' foes next.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
OG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you. Sports Radio 610. What we've learned about the Texans' foes the last couple of days. Some good information coming out of Indianapolis. Some good information coming out of Jacksonville. John Robinson, the Titans GM, has just begun his conference call. So we'll get some stuff out of Tennessee as well. Here's Frank Reich talking about the signing of Phillip Rivers. He said it was crazy. It was a unique opportunity. He said a lot of people have talked about Phillip Rivers' diminishing skill sets. I don't notice any of his physical gifts diminishing at all. This is not a view shared by everyone, but Frank Reich said he knows Rivers better than anyone. Also, when asked about the possibility of bringing in Tom Brady, Frank Reich said he did his due diligence, he studied the tape, but Phillip Rivers was a better fit for the Indianapolis Colts. That's Frank Reich talking about why he brought in his quarterback, Phillip Rivers.
And I actually agree. Tom Brady. I actually agree with almost all of that. Now, he actually was very, very high on Tom Brady, but the fit is natural and obvious. You know, he knows a lot of that offense already, having worked with the offensive coordinator when the Chargers were in San Diego. I know he didn't have the best year last year, but I blame a lot of that on things that didn't have to do with Phillip Rivers, more so the offensive line, injuries, etc. So I'm with him on that 100%. Phillip Rivers scares me in Indianapolis. I just got to be honest.
Reich asked about Jacoby Brissett, the quarterback last year that started for the Indianapolis Colts. He said that Jacoby Brissett was, quote, upset and disappointed when he found out that he would back up Rivers. However, he did not close the door to Brissett stepping on the field in 2020. He said Jacoby Brissett is hard to bring down and hinted that you could see Jacoby Brissett in some RPOs, maybe some short yardage situations. So he provided a little bit of insight into how the Colts offense could run from a strategic perspective as well.
Yeah, and I hadn't even really thought about this, but if he can keep Brissett relatively happy and involved, I hadn't even considered the fact that, you know, he might be a guy that come in there and not just be straight running quarterback, but a guy that can give him that option on maybe a third and short or something. And, you know, Frank Reich is a hell of a play caller, so now he's got just another toy, you know what I mean?
Also asked about the trade that the Colts made. They had the 13th overall selection. They traded it to San Francisco for DeForest Buckner, defensive tackle. He went back to conversation he had with Tony Dungy shortly after Dungy retired, when Dungy talked about the importance of a three-technique defensive lineman. Frank Reich said this was a no-brainer. He likes DeForest Buckner's skill set, says he's one of the best three techs in the entire NFL, and called the decision to trade the 13th pick for DeForest Buckner, quote, a no-brainer.
And this is the kind of thing that you want to hear when it's a controversial move. 13 overall is a huge, huge pick. I mean, that's a value. Wasn't DeAndre Hopkins 13 overall? Somewhere in that area. But either way, that's a controversial move to trade that. So when the fans hear it, that's when you start to maybe, you know, win them over, or at least they have a better understanding of what you're doing. That's That was really good for Colts fans to hear that.
And on to Jacksonville. Jacksonville Jaguars. Doug Marrone asked about Gardner Minshew, said he has high hopes for Gardner Minshew. Also went in-depth on the depth chart, talked about, you know, some of the moving and shuffling that he expects on the defensive side of the ball, and was asked about the drama that's been going on between the organization and Yannick Ngakoue. Ngakoue franchise tagged by Jacksonville. There's been rumors that he could be shipped off. Doug Marrone said you have to separate the business side with the coach player side of things when it comes to dealing with disgruntled players. Said he can absolutely see things from Yannick's perspective, or Yan, as he called him, and said this is just something you have to deal with. It's part of the gig. But he wants Yan to be a part of the football team, but it's a fluid situation, and we'll just have to see what happens as the offseason comes in. And as the draft is 22 days away, and there's been rumors that the Jags could potentially ship Yannick before the draft.
Right, and there's another aspect of this that directly affects the Texans, and specifically Bill O'Brien. I was talking about it earlier, if you weren't listening. Keep an eye on this deal that's being made, because everything that's going on with Yannick Ngakoue this year is what happened with Jadeveon Clowney last year, to the point that statistically they're about the same player. They've had about the last 3 years in Jacksonville and Clowney's last 3 years in Houston, about the same number of sacks, about the same number of games, about the same number of tackles for loss. Clowney has a few more tackles for loss and Ngakoue a few more sacks. But barely a few more. All the Texans could muster, all Bill O'Brien got for Clowney. And it's understandable to a degree, because the league had the Texans over a barrel. They knew that they had, you know, he wanted out, and he had been franchise tagged like Ngakoue, et cetera. And he got a third rounder, Barcavius Mingo and Jacob Martin. Barcavius Mingo's already out of here. So you got a third rounder and Jacob Martin, you know, for what it's worth. If the Jacksonville Jaguars can get more than that for Ngakoue, because teams have them over the barrel too, it's a reflection on Bill O'Brien's negotiating.
I mean, the Clowney thing was, you know, even you know, being disgruntled and whatnot. I mean, that players of Clowney's caliber. I mean, we've seen guys go for more. We haven't seen any player like a Clowney or like a DeAndre Hopkins be traded for less than what players in their class have been traded for. And the bottom line is this, John, and this is, you know, is the leaks and everything that we hear whenever a guy like a Clowney or a DeAndre Hopkins are traded. I don't think there's any chance that Yannick Ngakoue gets traded for less than market value. I damn sure don't think there's a chance that he's traded for anything near
like
how low Clowney
and Jacob Martin.
What Clowney got. But I do think that it's kind of silly when the leaks do come out, or when the reports come out, I'll say, from NFL Network about Clowney and Hopkins and why you had to trade him. And it's presented as, well, this guy was disgruntled, so we had to get him out of here. Clowney wanted this much money, so, you know, there wasn't much of a market for him. Or DeAndre Hopkins wanted a contract, so we had to trade him. You do realize this, John, and this is where it goes back to intelligence being insulted, and it gets me a little bit fired up. You do realize that, and I don't want to put a make-believe percentage on it, but you do realize that the majority of NFL star players that are traded are disgruntled. Like, a disgruntled athlete is not like some sort of thing that is unique to Houston. Like, I mean, am I wrong? Like, Odell Beckham Jr., he was disgruntled. Like, Randy Moss, when he got traded, he was disgruntled. Like, players are Jalen Ramsey, when he got traded for two first rounders, he was disgruntled. Like, usually most of the time when star players or Pro Bowl / all pro players are traded, they're disgruntled.
Right.
And a lot of times they want new money. So to justify getting less than market value for the elite talent that you send, to justify it by saying, well, he was disgruntled and he wanted this, it doesn't fly, because most of the players that get traded are disgruntled, John.
I agree to a point. Let me just add one thing. I think sometimes the team is disgruntled and not the player. You know, because sometimes it seems like this isn't working, not the right fit, et cetera. But somebody's disgruntled. I'll put it that way. And a lot of times it is the player, but it's not always the player. Sometimes the team just doesn't like it.
Yeah, but usually when the team likes it, they just don't have such a level. It doesn't seem like they have such a level of spite that they just want to trade him for a box of donuts. Like, do you think last year when Jalen Ramsey was showing up to Jags training camp in bank trucks and having stand-up comedians introduce him, and he was like refusing to practice and not showing up to the facility and saying what he was doing, do you think that the Jacksonville Jaguars weren't disgruntled with Jalen Ramsey? Like, when the Giants were dealing with Odell Beckham Jr. and he was punching nets
but
and
it's
hitting
not
himself
always
in
the
head.
Player.
I know, but it should never, regardless of the feelings, the point I'm trying to make here, and I appreciate you for,
no, I,
for laying
I hear
it
you.
Out better
I just
for
wanted
me. But
clarity.
But the point is that feelings are always involved, but that should not be an excuse
right.
not to get appropriate market value for what you're shipping off. That's not an
now
excuse.
That, I'm with you 100%. I'm with you on that 100%. And that's why, keep an eye, just put a pin in it, all right? Let's see what Ngakoue gets, or what they get for Ngakoue, because
they're the same player. You've laid it out. They're the same type of player.
They're the same player. And if they get a third and a Jacob Martin type, well then, you know, Bill O'Brien did about what he should have done. Maybe he'll end up looking good. But if they get more than that, it's a reflection on what O'Brien did.
I mean, right now they're talking first-round pick out of Philadelphia. I mean, that's what they're talking. They're talking first-round pick. I mean,
we'll see.
You're giggling.
That's just a rumor.
Okay, that is just a rumor. And, oh, by the way, if Clowney had just played last year and left, you would have got a third-round pick.
Yeah, you would have gotten that anyway.
It's just not an excuse. It's not an excuse to take pennies on the dollar because a guy's disgruntled. That's just absolutely insane. But, I mean, I think that's why – that's why people just want to hear from Bill O'Brien and our guy from the posse, Rick Tindall, a good listener of the station. You know, he weighed in on Twitter at Landry Locker at Lopez on Sports, talking about the Bill O'Brien thing and the fact that all three teams in the division have spoken out. He said he doesn't understand why we are asking Bill O'Brien to speak out. He's not obligated to speak out. I understand wanting it, but it's not like he's going to tell you what you want to hear. I agree with that. Like, the dialogue of what Bill O'Brien says might not provide anything, but it's an obligation to at least give your fans some transparency. It's an obligation to do what other teams are doing. And when other teams are doing it, it makes you look bad. And I think this is just the latest example. And I could be wrong, but I think this is just the latest example of why a lot of people feel that Bill O'Brien, whether it's developing a high amount of spite, whether it's just, you know, having disagreements with players and shipping them out, it's an example of him almost putting his emotions and what the F he wants to do above what's best for the team, which is getting fair market value for the guys you trade, and what's in the best interest of the fans and what other fan bases are getting compared to you. He can do whatever the heck he wants, but it's just, to me, it just seems like an example of putting yourself above the team and now your fans.
This is probably not the case, but I think by and large, Bill O'Brien can't get any worse for Bill O'Brien, right? It can probably only get better. It can probably, right now, I mean, Toro just tweeted something else and the Texans are they can't do anything without, I mean, it can't get worse for Bill O'Brien's Q rating, if you will, you know? So it can probably only help and maybe even explain in his own words a few more things.
Yeah, the Toro reading challenge starts today. My gosh.
Look at the comments.
Yeah, I did. I definitely did. The OG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you. If you want to help during this time, sportsradio610.com/dedicated to Houston, jobs, places to eat, all that type of stuff available for you as we continue to work our way towards sports resuming and us getting back to some sense of normal. We're going to shout out the salespeople,
oh,
and we're going to have John
oh,
Lopez.
Oh, oh. Hold on a second. Hold on a second. When we come back.
Uh-oh.
John Robinson, the Titans tight end, general manager.
GM? Yeah.
He said something that you definitely want to hear.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Yep.
That's next.
Yep. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Love you guys, man. Y'all have a good day, man. Enjoy yourselves.
It's the voice of Jadeveon Clowney, former Houston Texan Jadeveon Clowney, who could be returning back down south. Titans general manager John Robinson is at the podium right now. Every team not named the Houston Texans in the AFC South has spoken the last couple of days, and John Robinson had what to say, John Lopez?
Well, let me just kind of go through the whole thing. I think it interests our listeners. Former Oilers, Titans, a rival of the Texans. Jim Wyatt has been covering the Tennessee Titans for a long, long time and has been reporting almost minute by minute here on what General Manager John Robinson is talking about. He said his first comments were very straightforward, thanking everybody for the front lines help of during the COVID-19 outbreak. He then tweeted that Robinson said he's been working from home for about the past 10 days, and the team is preparing for the draft, has a web conference daily with scouts, talks daily with Mike Vrabel. He then tweeted that Robinson said he is not aware of anyone in the Titans organization who has tested positive for COVID-19. Talked about Jarrell Casey in the next tweet. Robinson said that he felt the Titans just wanted to go in a different direction from Jarrell Casey. Of course, he moved on. He said he met with Derrick Henry before he put the tag on him, and said that he continues to speak with Henry's agent after using the tag. Said he likes to get he would like to get a long-term deal done with him. He talked about a couple of contracts that they've agreed upon with Logan Ryan. Camille Correa. He said they've agreed with Jack Crawford. And he said he's looking for some guys in the draft that would pair nicely with another running back that would pair nicely with Derrick Henry. Then he said the Titans have been in contact with the agent for Jadeveon Clowney.
What?
What? Bro, what are you talking about, man?
General manager of the Tennessee Titans flat out said the Titans are in contact with the agent for Jadeveon Clowney.
Bro, I'm out, man.
Dude. A general manager doesn't flat out say something like that unless
I'm a lover, man.
Those discussions are pretty far along. He flat out said, we're in contact with the agent for Jadeveon Clowney. You sound speechless.
Now, if this did happen, this would unite Jadeveon Clowney with Mike Vrabel. When Vrabel was with the Houston Texans, Jadeveon Clowney, he made two of his three Pro Bowls, and he was also a second-team All-Pro with Vrabel on the coaching staff. I think the one thing that Mike Vrabel has, and I don't think you can deny it, I don't think I can deny it, I don't think anyone that covers Mike Vrabel can deny it. The one thing that Mike Vrabel has is he has the ability, like maybe not any other coach in this league, to see eye to eye with players. He's been in the trenches. He's won Super Bowls. He's kind of a man's man. He's got that presence of a head coach, and he's got that credibility as a former player. If Clowney ever was going to reach his full potential, going to Tennessee and being reunited with a guy who is very familiar with him, who's very familiar with what he's about, and a guy who is good at relating to players in all walks of life, I think it would be a very good get for the Tennessee Titans, and I think it would be bad news for Deshaun Watson in the Houston Texans.
I agree with all that. The Titans are better than the Texans today. I don't think very many people would argue that. And they're going to add a player that you have to game plan for. If Clowney is in fact a player that they are targeting, and when the general manager, I'll just reiterate that the general manager is flat out saying we're talking to Clowney's agent. That's a sign. All right. that they're definitely interested. You got a game plan for Jadeveon Clowney. You can talk all you want about sacks, all right? The NFL says a different story because the NFL knows the impact that Jadeveon Clowney has on offenses. That would be a big, big problem for Deshaun Watson.
And, I mean, I think it would be something that would light a fire under Jadeveon Clowney. He's not – it doesn't look like Jadeveon Clowney is going to get the $20 million that apparently he and his agent were looking for. But if the Titans are able to get Jadeveon Clowney, and, I mean, I don't know what their cap space is right now, but you can usually manipulate cap space. But if they're able to add him to their defense along with everything that they did last year on offense, I mean – I already think the Titans are the favorite in the AFC South, but I think we're looking at an overwhelming favorite in the AFC South if you add a guy like Clowney to that defense along with whatever they're going to do in the draft. Because I think their talent on offense, specifically second-year wide receiver A.J. Brown, Corey Davis in the final year of his deal, and Adam Humphries, who they gave a lot of money to in the slot. I mean, I think the arrow is pointing up for their offense already. And if you do add a guy like Clowney in a familiar situation with Mike Vrabel, I think we're looking at, you know, the favorite in the AFC South. They're already the favorite in Las Vegas. They already had the best season in the AFC South last year because they made it to the AFC Championship and the Texans didn't. And they're going to have Ryan Tannehill for a full season instead of, you know, taking over week six or whatever he did last year for Marcus Mariota. I think the old Oilers will have something cooking. And they're going to be a popular pick. They're going to be my pick. I'll go ahead and tell you right now, they're going to be my pick to win the division once again. I think the Tennessee Titans are going to be very, very dangerous if they add a guy like a Jadeveon Clowney. Very dangerous.
Yeah, you made a couple of points there that I think are really important that I want to build on a little bit, because you talked about, you know, that he would want to go to the Titans. He'd be interested in there. Figgy flat out said he'd take $10 million to go to the Titans. Now, I don't know if he'd do that. but a tie in terms of dollars would go to the Titans. I mean, he would want to play in this division. And then the other thing you talked about is the cap. You know, you don't know if they have enough room in the cap to get this done. Well, I think they feel pretty good about it, or else the general manager wouldn't be talking about it. And I think it's another point to make that when you have a dedicated cap guy like Chris Olsen was here, when you have a dedicated cap guy, that's their whole job. Figure it out. You put it on their desk. You say, I want Clowney. Figure it out. Rather than trying to manipulate it yourself or whatever, or work with a team of guys, I think they're pretty confident about the cap ramifications here, because they're already talking about Clowney, you know, just up front.
And the other thing that I want to add to this is, what does it say about J.D. Clowney and about King Bill O'Brien that a guy in Mike Vrabel, who coached Clowney for multiple years, was actually his position coach and was his defensive coordinator the year that Clowney maybe had his best season when the Texans were bad. He didn't really give up, had a really good year. I was the most impressed I've been with Clowney, where he didn't, you know, fold things up when they were 4-12. But what does it say that a guy like Mike Vrabel, who was around Jadeveon Clowney for all those years, is willing to bring Clowney onto his football team? And this is a football team that really, right. I don't know how desperate the Titans should be. I mean, they were close. They were a game away, really a half away from making the Super Bowl last season. What does it say when a guy like Mike Vrabel, who knows Clowney better than most, who spent probably, you know, more time with him than Bill O'Brien did, let's be honest, because he was his position coach. What does it say that Mike Vrabel, with all the bad things that we've heard about Clowney and all the knocks that we've heard about Clowney and the fact right. that the Texans were willing to pay half his salary and trade him for pennies on the dollar, what does it say that Mike Vrabel is willing to now entertain the possibility of bringing number 90 out there to Tennessee?
It says that he feels good with it. He feels good with whatever those perceived or real issues might have been, that he feels good with it, because you know he's the head coach now. I mean, he's the last the most responsible guy on that team, and they're having discussions with him. Obviously, Robinson would not make this type of attempt without Vrabel, you know, endorsing it. And just for cap space sake, the Texans have about $35 million in cap space. That's going to go down to, what did we say, about 20?
It's going down to about 20 once everything becomes official.
Yeah, all these deals that have already been made. Well, the Titans have 23 right now. Now, maybe they have some contracts that are unfinished. I don't know. But they have the cap space to make this happen. They have $23 million.
And they still got to sign Derrick Henry. Of course, they franchise tagged him, so we don't know what's going to happen there. I mean, you would think that they would potentially, you know, push it back. But Jadeveon Clowney with the Tennessee Titans, that's a scary proposition. And oh, by the way, I mean, we mentioned Indianapolis earlier today. Indianapolis trading their first-round pick for one of the best three techs in the league, DeForest Buckner out of San Francisco. Already have Justin Houston. Added Xavier Rhodes from Minnesota, who says he's hungry, he's ready to go. Texans defense last year, one of the worst in the league, 29th in yards allowed 24 points per game, completely fell apart. They really haven't done much to on that side of the ball. In fact, they lost DJ Reader, one of their best players, brought in Eric Murray from the Browns, who's going to be their third safety, maybe a nickelback, but really haven't done much on defense. Titans looking to improve their defense by bringing in former Texan Jadeveon Clowney, and the Colts have already done that. So all of the other teams in the league are trying to improve on that side of the ball, and it seems like as we sit right now, 22 days away from the draft, the Texans have kind of neglected that side of the rock, which could backfire. And oh, by the way, they also gave up their best player in DeAndre Hopkins. So,
and just as a follow-up on the Clowney discussion with Titans general manager John Robinson, he did say, quote, nothing is imminent, but also said there's nothing more important than the health of a player, definitely an important part of the decision. So reading between the lines here, they're trying to get Jadeveon Clowney. Number one, he wouldn't mention him by name if they weren't. Number two, nothing is imminent. That means they're discussing him, you know, actively, and it seems as if they're really just trying to you know, kind of dot all their I's and cross their T's health-wise for Clowney. But it looks like he's a real possibility, or at least they're trying.
And, I mean, it's a time where obviously you can't just bring him in and take him to the facility and get him checked. So you probably, you know, some guys are getting physicals elsewhere. Clowney's a guy who had sports hernia surgery last year. You probably want to get a close look at if you are going to sign him. So, you know, I think that's kind of hurt, you know, the market of Jadeveon Clowney. Guys coming off surgery, you want to get a look at him. I think it's the same thing with Cam Newton. You know, you want to get a look at where they are physically. So that could be that could be the holdup. But, you know, as this gets closer, as the season appears closer, I know it's one of the most polarizing topics that we've had on this show since we've been doing it, since you, myself, and Figgy have been doing this show, Jadeveon Clowney. I don't want to say it was a 50-50 split. I would say the majority of Texans fans would have liked to have kept Clowney for at least one season. But even the people, you got to think, who had no problem with the Texans getting rid of Jadeveon Clowney, seeing number 90 in a Titans jersey opposite Deshaun Watson does not make you feel too comfortable if you're a Texans fan, even if you weren't in the camp that the Texans needed to bring back Clowney for at least one season last year. That can't make you feel comfortable.
Well, and the other thing about this that, I mean, I've been saying this for a week, you know, this whole perceived, oh, there's no market for Clowney. I was telling you guys last week, that's a pile of crap. Clowney is a great player. Argue it all you want, but NFL head coaches and defensive and offensive coordinators will tell you they're game planning for him. There's going to be a market. Now, maybe it's not going to be $20 million, you know. Maybe it won't be $20, $21 million. Maybe it's $17 or $18, but it doesn't matter. I mean, that's a guy that will impact games big time. So perhaps the market went down a couple of million, you know, and that's why now there's, you know, more teams involved, including the Seahawks. Now, let's not forget that. The Seahawks still have a say in this. They say they still want him as well because he did a lot for them last year, but – right now, Clowney's in a position where he can choose. And again, if it's a tie, I have a hunch a guy from South Carolina that played for the Texans, his first choice is going to be the Tennessee Titans.
And he gets to play for a guy that was his position coach and his coordinator in Mike Vrabel. And, oh, by the way, winning is also important. This is a team that was in the AFC Championship.
Yeah.
Do you think this makes the Texans look good, the fact that Clowney's not getting what he what they originally thought he wanted? I hear some people saying, well, maybe Bill O'Brien has been validated and the Texans are look a little bit smarter for this. I don't think that, because, again, it goes back to the conversation we had earlier about disgruntled players. I don't think just because a player is disgruntled, you punt on them. And sometimes in the NFL, a player thinks he's worth something. He tests the market, and then you get him closer to what you thought that he was worth.
Yeah.
So I don't think that the fact that Jadeveon Clowney isn't going to get the $20 million, I don't think that in any way validates the Texans trading him for what they traded him for last year.
No, I agree with you, but for a different reason. I think this just comes down to a very simple thing. Sacks. Sacks, man. I mean, there's not an NFL person around that isn't terrified of going against Jadeveon Clowney, but he doesn't get sacks. What do sacks get, Landry?
Stacks.
Yeah. The market value for him has reduced by a couple of or $3 million here or there, give or take, just because he doesn't have those sack numbers. That's what they want to see. But as far as, like, his impact, there's never been a question about that.
The Titans, if you're just tuning in, have been in contact with the representatives of Jadeveon Clowney. This according to John Robinson, who's meeting with the media right now. Mike Vrabel, he's going to speak in 10 minutes. We'll let you know if Mike Vrabel has anything to say about Jadeveon Clowney, as well as everything he has to say. So keep it locked right here on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. The OG John Lopez, I'm Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you, working at home with you, for you here on Houston Sports Leader. Let's go around the NFL. Roger Goodell, what in the hell are you doing? That's next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.